B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the GWCC. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. And this hour of our show right here from the Georgia World Congress Center, where it's very exciting. I've planned this year.
And every day, I'm told.
I have plans.
I'm told every day.
I have plans.
This is your city, man. When we looked at the schedule and saw the Super Bowl was going to be held in Atlanta, no one was happier other than you.
I have plans with people.
Yes.
More people than I would be able to make plans with if I was in Boston. Sadly true.
I've just made a list of like all the garbage restaurants I used to eat at in college that I'm looking forward to going back to. One I know you hate, but what is it? Eats. Eats is just
Eats is the worst.
It's like a cafeteria.
Really?
And it's awesome.
All right.
What is it?
It's like jerk chicken and like
what do they call
color
that?
Greens.
One and two sides or something.
Yeah, meat
like
and three.
Meat and three.
Yeah. But it's like $7 for a meat and three. So yeah. It's good meat.
Yeah, ooh. It's not good. All right. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for theathletic.com, and he joins us on the New England Volkswagen Dealers hotline, expert hotline. He's an expert. Hello, Mr. Jeff Howe.
What's going on, guys?
We were talking about this with Zolak today, and I don't think it's a stupid question. Many years it would be a stupid question, but the attitude of the Patriots right now seems a little bit different than it has maybe in the last couple years going into this.
I would say the attitude they've had the last 3 or 4 weeks, really since the playoffs started, has been different than it was at any point in the regular season. So you could even narrow that focus, and that's why they're here. And the attention to detail, the focus, those were the reasons behind, or major reasons behind, their road losses. And they weren't going to survive in Kansas City without turning that around. And obviously it started the week before against the Chargers, and really the week before that, the bye week, when you started to notice something a little bit different with them. They're playing the underdog card or you know, them against the world card, whatever it takes, I mean, to get yourself dialed or, you know, all in or whatever, to prepare and, you know, try to win these games. It's obviously working. So, I mean, hats off to him, I guess.
Well, going into the Kansas City game, I thought out of all the remaining teams that were left, that was going to be the toughest opponent that the Patriots are going to play. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Kansas City was a tougher matchup than the Rams are going to be?
Yeah, but also factor in the environment, because, you know, I would expect this Super Bowl to be a Patriots home game because, you know, the Rams aren't traveling. The only people who are going to be rooting for the Rams are the fans who are there without a fan, or, you know, without a team in the game. They just want to root against the Patriots. But so Kansas City, the environment, all that stuff. But also Kansas City had a better quarterback, a way better quarterback. And I like Goff. I really do. But there are times when he's a little erratic. I mean, he can make every throw on the field. I mean, look at that one to Cooks in the NFC Championship game down the left sideline is, you know, one of the best throws that you'll see all year. But he also will go through stretches over two or three drives when he can't hit the ocean from a boat. So I think, you know, you don't really see that too often from a guy like Patrick Mahomes. And you wonder, is the stage too big for him? Is the pressure getting to him? Anything like that. I mean, maybe, but I think Goff had some of these accuracy issues at times in the regular season as well. So, look, the environment and the quarterback.
They had to win in New Orleans, which you could make an argument is a tougher place to play than Kansas City.
No, there's no argument.
Oh,
no,
there is an argument. Flynn thinks so.
No way.
Flynn thinks so, and he's played both places.
Jeff, what do you think?
What does he know?
No,
what does he know? He's just played.
Arrowhead's, well, Arrowhead is known as the toughest place to play.
According to Mike Flynn, who played 11 years in the NFL and has played at both places, he said that it's harder to play in New Orleans than it is in Kansas City. Now, you could disagree, and that is fine, but I'm letting you know from a professional player,
yes,
he believes that New Orleans is tough, a tougher place to play at. So there you go.
Well, I would also say there, to, just for his point, he was an offensive lineman. So you really had to worry about the pre-snap communication, the silent counts, all that stuff. So
yeah, which is the whole point.
But it's probably louder than Kansas City, but you can't say it's necessarily a more hostile environment. So, it could be the position that he plays, too.
You're in a dome, too.
It's louder.
Louder,
yeah, but tougher to play. Like, the entire experience, Arrowhead is way tougher.
Then call Flynn. He said that's what
I'm
he
on
said.
Your side, Rich. Arrowhead, I've always been told, is the toughest
but
place
when,
to play.
When confronted with someone who's played in both places.
He's been hit a few times. What does he know?
He seems to be came out of the head. He seemed to came out of the other
what
end.
What does he know?
Okay.
He doesn't know anything.
All right. So this is – I'm sorry, John. I'm cutting you off. I've done it before.
I'll say this. Let's not dismiss the Rams going into New Orleans, regardless of how you feel about the environments.
And
that's
the
a tough that's a tough place to play. And there was the blown call. Okay, go ahead.
Since we talked about Flynn, let's talk about offensive line play. I'm amazed at what the offensive line has been able to do in the playoffs. They've completely dominated the line of scrimmage against two very good defensive lines. And the Rams have their own problems, especially on the interior. They create their own problems. Can the Patriots offensive line do this again?
I mean, I don't see why not. The way they're playing right now, why count them out? I mean, Aaron Donald is a specimen unlike anyone the Patriots have seen all season. I mean, he's a legitimate MVP candidate. He won't win it, but that's the type of season he's having. And look, Chris Jones, the Chiefs defensive tackle, I think is one of the best defensive players in the league. And with the exception of a batted ball, had no impact whatsoever in the AFC Championship game. So it's not like, the Patriots are just dealing with the edge guys that they saw against the Chargers. There were the edge guys and a guy like Jones in the middle against the Chiefs. So all five of these guys are playing really well. And, it starts with Donald, but you still got Sue and Brockers. I mean, there's a flurry of guys who can get after you from every single angle. And, that's going to be basically the key to the offense. And can you overpower that defensive front? And if you can, I think you can take advantage of the lighter personnel in the back seven, which is going to allow you to get the running game going. And I think Tom Brady would obviously be able to pick apart that secondary.
All right, so one thing that's been interesting and equally impressive about the offensive line is when they line up Devlin, they're basically telling you, we're coming up the middle. And teams haven't been able to stop that. Do you think that's a kind of strategy that they'll use on Sunday? It's Sunday, right? Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's working. And Devlin's been amazing. Yeah, I thought he was I mean, it's funny. He's talking about a Pro Bowl snub as a fullback. I mean, the guy should have been – he should be in the Pro Bowl. Excuse me.
Right.
Having a tough morning here. So the they sort of – have some packages where they telegraph their runs to an extent, but the direction might be there. But the way they pull their linemen, the blocking formats change from play to play. And, that's why they get these athletic guards. Shaq Mason, Joe Tooney, and David Andrews have all done a really good job of pulling, getting to a spot, and even showing some patience. There was a block that Joe Tooney had earlier where you could see him kind of peel around to the right. And he was showing patience looking for his assignment the way you would see Sony Michel look for patience looking for holes. So everything they're doing is in sync, and it's sort of a group effort. And, again, it's impressive.
All right. So when you take a look right now, you mentioned Jared Goff. He can be erratic at times. Is there anything that the teams that they were playing were doing to, I guess, mess up his game? Like, is there any kind of method or something that you've seen on tape that causes Jared Goff to get flustered?
No, not that I could really see. I just think, again, for a guy who, it just sticks out. It's almost like Andrew Luck a few years ago when he started to really rise to prominence. Goff doesn't make the killer turnover plays that Luck has been known to do. But when you see a guy who is so talented and can deliver the ball in any type of window on any given throw, and then when he all of a sudden just starts to miss a few, especially when they look like easier throws over the middle against the zone or something like that, it just sticks out, especially because, again, you see it a handful of times a game. So if you're the Patriots, you obviously have to be aware of that and you keep, again, if there's going to be an erratic ball, you got to start taking advantage of it. I mean, if you can get your hands on it and you can create a turnover, obviously that's a huge point in the game.
All right, Jeff Howell from The Athletic. We appreciate it, and hopefully you will not get really, really sick this year like you did a couple years ago.
Oh, that was the worst. That was terrible.
Full-on
flu bug down in Houston.
Houston, okay.
All right, Jeff Howell, thank you so much for the time.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good week. We'll see you soon.
All right, see you soon. All right, let me tell you this, is that it's just around the corner. Patrice Bergeron and this very show present Pucks and Paddles. It's the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. It's Thursday, February 7th at the Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. That's Rich and I as well. John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, Scott Zolak. VIP tickets are sold out, but you can get general admission tickets for $50. You'll be right around the players that are on the stage. They are in and about the crowd. And you can bid to play with the Bruin or one of us. Rich is taking an exceptional lead in the bidding with going for $350. You can still bid on Mark Bertrand for $300 for all the information. But DeBrusk, is far and away the
He's
biggest
the man. Leader in the clubhouse. $800 for DeBrusk
Matt
right now.
Matt Niato, good looks on that boy.
Yep.
All right, John. You would know. For all the information and to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com. We're at the Georgia World Congress Center for the big Super Bowl.
And I am going Kamla hunting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to see if I can go wrangle Rick Kamla of the... We're shipping you back to Boston.
His program director was just over here talking to me.
Oh,
so.
Was that him?
Yeah.
We're getting Kamla.
All right, go get him.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Hutcher and Rich. I don't know if this is actually going to happen, but we have been informed that Mr. Kamla, if you recall, with the scathing Shipping You Back to Boston song, which, by the way, if he comes over here, we are going to play in its entirety.
So Rick Kamla from 92.9 The Game, it is the...
Okay, here's what we do. Okay. Is that we sit him down, and then we go like, hey...
It's really hurt a lot of people's feelings.
No. You go, it's nice to meet you, and go, here's the song that you guys made. Play the whole thing, and then just look at him.
I mean, it's really long. This is going to be like The Office uncomfortable, like Curb Your Enthusiasm. So just play it for some of the people who don't know.
So you got to get on Twitch.
After the Patriots beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl, they had something that was one of the more amazing breaks in radio history where he talked about it was a Hug It Out Monday. Mike, real quick, do you just have any of those little snippets?
So Hug It Out Monday.
Yeah, it was okay. So
best that we can do is just give you a big electronic hug.
Okay, all right. It's a slice of life, bro. 28 Trey.
It's a slice of life here. 28 Trey, bro.
Okay, all right. So we obviously were fairly merciless with that, but then he created a song that they performed at like a Buffalo Wild Wings in front of like three people who were trying to eat, and it was like the Dundies from The Office, and they performed We're Shipping You Back to Boston after I think that the Hawks had lost to the Hawks had beaten the Celtics somewhere.
Okay,
like
so what we do is he sits down, and we go, hey, nice to meet you, and we go, you did this one thing we want to play for you.
But I'm going to want to talk to him. I just want to say, let it play, and just like, you know, this line in particular was most hurtful.
No, you said that after.
Okay, all right. So here's what happens.
Because he has to sit through that song. Okay. Which is like excruciating.
So I went over to 92.9 The Game, which, by the way, they have like a massive stage, just because I guess they're hosting it, so they were able to get this like nice stage.
Yeah.
And when you walk up, and I went over to the program director, who's very nice, and I said, hey, you know, is Rick Kamla here? And they said, yeah, he's around here. We're gonna see if we can. And I said, can he come on the show with us? And they said, yeah. He didn't ask why or anything like that. So they are now wrangling him up. In the meantime, Hardy, I know you. I have to ask you real quick because. Yeah. I need you to vouch for how weird this
was. Let's discuss the flight, please.
I told the story this morning about how before we got on the plane, and it was you, me, Maz, Felger,
Louth,
and
Louth, too, right? Yeah.
And we're all sitting waiting to go on.
Yeah.
And what happens? What does the pilot do before we get on the plane?
Well, he identified as the pilot. I thought he was a gate agent.
Yeah.
based on the way he was dressed, but he came out. He said something about the pilot, and he said, just want to let you all know, just wanted to say hello to everybody. And he's shouting loud so he can be heard, you know, at a totally full gate.
Yeah, we're all sitting waiting at the gate. This isn't inside the plane. This is while we're waiting outside.
Totally full gate. And he's speaking very loud so he can be heard. And he says, I just want you all to know, I wanted to say hello and introduce myself and let you know it's going to be really, really bumpy getting down there. I mean, it's going to be like driving down a country road, a lot of bumps. We're going to try and keep it below the weather at around 25,000 feet, but I just want you to be warned. And we're going to try and do better, but I just want to lower expectations for this flight so that, you know, you're not mad at me later. Maz looks at me like, why? Like, first of all, Felger gets that, like, S-eating grin on his face, like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
we're going to die.
I keep telling you guys, we're all going to die one day. And this is how it happens. Maz doesn't find it funny at all. He turns to me and he says, what the F is this guy talking about? I don't even want to go. I'm like, shh, it's all right. Because I'm like, you know, this is what freaks people out. He's like, and he thinks I don't hear him, so he's like nudging me. I'm sitting next to me. He's like, Hardy, seriously, what the hell is this? I never heard this before in my life. I've been flying on airplanes for 40 years. Yeah. I never heard this before. Who's this clown?
It was nuts, and it was unsettling because everyone's looking at each other like, did anyone just see what I just saw? Like, did this really just happen?
People shouldn't say anything on planes.
don't
say anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Don't say anything. That's fine. Yeah. Like, if you hit turbulence, you go, hey, we're over a rough patch. We'll get through this soon.
Sure.
Put your seatbelts on. But he's telling us what, like, altitude we're going to fly under and, like, you know, how bad it is and how bad it's going to be. And it might not be that bad, but it's going to be bad. So you guys just know this going in. For the next 3 hours, you are screwed.
You know, okay, my theory was that...
Which, by the way, how bad was the flight?
Wasn't that bad.
No.
Wasn't
that
bad? No.
I mean, three or four times, it started bumping a little bit, and he turned the seatbelt light on, and it just... Like
in other words, a normal flight.
It was a pretty normal flight.
Yeah. But my whole theory was that I think that he saw that there were members of the media that were on this plane, and he was all right.
Watch what I'm going to do here.
Just check this out. Razzle-dazzle. Yeah.
That's why you got to drink. That's why I drink before every flight.
That was okay.
I, that's why I never drive myself to the airport.
Even telling the story this morning, as the words were coming out of my mouth, I'm like, did that even truly happen? And it was, yeah, you're right, because Felger just started kind of smiling and rocking back and forth, like, here we go.
And you think Felger can't handle, like a situation like that, like he would run and hide because there are people and he's going to have to talk. But he was, like, all beaming it, and he, like, even said something loud back there, like, oh, thank you, you know, just to, like, try and break the ice, because people were freaked out.
Yeah, they're freaked out. Everyone was freaked out. Unsettling.
I was freaked out when I got on the plane and I saw that Felger and Rich were in the executive chairs, but Hardy and I had to slum it in the black back of the plane.
Yeah, you were sitting way up front.
Even more space is what they call it.
You popped the extra $25?
Yep.
Must be
nice.
I was sitting there with my top hat and monocle.
Nice.
Ordering people around with my cane.
I came in there and I said, what in the heavens is going on here?
Which sounded more like,
I'm going to go get it.
Told you.
How's the convention center coffee?
Good. It's actually good.
All right, I'm going to go get some.
Doesn't stink. Right. Hey, you put a little this in it. Jesse James Dupree brought us a little, you know, little brown water.
I heard about that. What did he reference? Johnny Cash and all this?
It tastes like Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash didn't drink for, like, the last 40 years he was alive. What was he talking about?
It tastes like Johnny Cash.
Sweet, syrupy sound of his music, my friend.
Oh, okay. Now that makes sense. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Maybe this week is the week. Yeah. Maybe I'll join you, boys.
Hey, move. We got Rick Hamlin coming. All right. You clear that seat.
There's absolutely no way he's coming.
This is the week.
I know is that not only was the program director want him to do it, but one of the hosts of one of the shows, like who was it? I recognize one of the guys who was on the radio. He's actually a pretty good guy. It's not from Dukes and Bell. They're on that station, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't.
Yeah, afternoons, Dukes.
Yeah, afternoons. Yeah. Good show. Good show. I like those guys a lot. But I have not seen them.
Oh, it's too bad.
So we shall see. It's not. Right. And listen, they're trying. They're trying.
All right.
They're efforting. But if I'm that guy, there's no way. No way I'm doing this show. You're not going to win.
Well, does he have any idea?
Oh, pff, Come on, John.
No, any idea that we've talked about it?
Are you joking?
Come on. I don't know.
Okay, we need to see if what's his name from Kansas City is going to be broadcasting here.
Oh, Fesco.
Tom Fesco.
He's got to be here, right?
No, Rick Campbell is better than Fesco. Oh, so you could tell I was inebriated yesterday.
A little bit, yeah. But that's all right. It's like, you know, you have to loosen yourself up. When you got, you know, somebody coming out and telling you that to lower your expectations about your flight.
Yeah, that's.
I don't blame you in the least.
How bad was it?
The flight?
No, me.
Oh, no, you weren't that bad. I was joking. I was exaggerating, using hyperbole as a form of joke.
Yeah. I hate flying.
Only one more flight left, Fred.
Oh, I don't hate it like that. Like, I don't dread it, but it's just like, you know, if it's in the afternoon and I ain't driving, I ain't flying the plane.
No problem with that.
I got you.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Do you want a break now so we can get ready for Rick Campbell, hopefully?
If I really want him to come, I just wouldn't get your hopes up. But if he doesn't come, what do we have coming up in the stack?
Okay, we have a truly disturbing moment that came out of a city council meeting for the Phoenix Suns as they're trying to get funding, which you have to hear this. Like, this is something that, like,
Suns want a new building?
What's
really?
That?
Suns want a new building?
Yeah, they want public funding for it.
Oh, Lord.
So say what you will. I don't care about the Suns, and I don't care about their public building funding, but a maniac spoke at the city council meeting.
All right.
Which we got to hear.
All right, here are the headlines.
The game's over. No!
Hunter and Rich are live on Radio Row on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Hunter and Rich this hour from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center for the Super Bowl. It's brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Remember, we're on Twitch every morning. Visit twitch.tv and search The Sports Hub to watch the show live. You can also get the Twitch app. And the station with a huge stage here is Mike Bell, a good friend of mine. Rich and I both have lived in Atlanta.
Big Jim Murray used to work there, too.
He used to live there.
Yep.
92.9 The Game, Rich Kamla. Rick Kamla joins us. Hello, sir.
I've been screwing up your guys' names. I'm like, is it Rich? Is it Fred? I now know it is Rich. It is Fred, so don't feel bad.
Now, the two cities, obviously there was the Super Bowl, which was heartbreaking, I'm sure, for Atlanta fans. And so there has been a little bit of competition, but we've played this on our show before, and it is a song that your show did about our show in good fun. So we'll play it right now for our audience who might not have heard it.
What's up, Austin? What you got now?
Now, what you got?
You drowning in chowder?
Drowning in chowder.
Would you shoot another steroid this morning, Sully? Because you ain't got basketball to watch anymore.
Basketball.
Seems to me, John, last night, our Atlanta Braves and our Atlanta Hawks made Boston their little biatch.
Yeah. What happened?
In their house.
No, that's our house now.
And we're feeling good about it.
But actually, we don't want it because it's in Boston.
We're feeling so good. Here we go. Atlanta rocks and Boston sucks, and I'm only telling the truth. Way to go on their brilliant idea to trade away Babe Ruth. It was wicked awesome beating you, and now you're home, just like the Knicks. You may have more championships, but we have more champion chicks. We're shipping you back to Boston.
Yeah.
We're shipping you back to Boston.
Yeah.
We're shipping you back to Boston.
Yeah.
Yes, we're shipping you back to Boston. This one's for Dominique. This one's for Petulia. This one's for Trey Rollins. This one's for Schroeder. This one's for Fratello. This one's for Millsap. This one's for Pettit. And this one's for Holman. How does that feel, Boston? Buggy.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's enough. A little tomfoolery there. I was unable. We were at a remote. We were at a great restaurant in Atlanta. We were unable to rehearse that just due to technicalities and stuff like that. So I came in a little bit late, so the lyrics didn't perfectly sync up. What's that? Dropkick Murphys? Is that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Good song, by the way. I like that song.
It is a good song, but it was very mean. By the way, we played that, and you angered the entire city of Boston.
Oh, good.
They did not like the "This One's for Petulia" reference because that.
And also, are you shooting? What are you taking? Shooting a steroid?
They did not like that.
Well, that wasn't me that said that. Okay. The rest of the stuff I will own. The lyrics of the song I will own.
Okay. All
you
right.
Know, the Babe Ruth shot I will own. The Buckner shots I will own.
The Babe Ruth one really stings us because many of us are 105 years old.
And we still haven't won a championship since then.
That's right. Oh, hey, the curse is lifted, man. And now all you all do is win. Trust me, down in Atlanta, we are jealous of the parades, of the gold balls, of the Lombardis. Hell, you win in the NHL. It's amazing, man. I mean, we look at it literally with, like, God, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's like a birthright for millennials in New England right now to win championships.
It is weird, and I remember, I mean, listen, all of us were watching that Falcons Super Bowl, and all of us were shocked at how that thing ended. I mean, I had friends, as I said, I lived here in Atlanta. They're all texting me all these things, like, you suck, and then it got quiet near the end. However, the next morning, we wanted to hear what Atlanta Radio thought, so we were listening to you guys, and you deemed the day a Hug It Out Monday. Now, was there legitimate hugs? Like, were you guys actually physically hugging each other?
No, because we were in studio, but it just was, we were mourning. So there's no other way to put it. The city of Atlanta was mourning the loss of that Super Bowl. It was like the death of a family. It was like the death of a friend.
Pretty big mourn. I know it's like a death of a...
Yeah, well, I know it's like kind of a morbid analogy, but that's how this city felt. Okay, I mean, so it is 28-3. Everybody thought that it was cooked, put it on the table, let's get a fork and knife, and let's go in on it. And it's the most amazing and improbable collapse/comeback in American sports history.
Right, so how 28 Trey, bro.
Exactly.
How do you handle that the next day on the radio? Like, when you know that your listeners are that upset?
Well, like, we just called it a Hug It Out Monday. Like we took a bunch of calls, vent your frustrations, cry if you want. I mean,
did people cry?
No, I mean, but you got a lot of butt hurt, you know, calls and stuff like that, and rightly so. But, I mean, and obviously we analyzed the game. We had some fun with the Super Bowl commercials, and we tried to lighten it up a little bit. But really the tone was, Atlanta, we know that you're hurting. You're hurting badly. And so let's just – we're all in the mud together, so let's make the best of it.
Well, now that the sting of the Super Bowl is gone, the Atlanta Falcons won, when you look back and you think about, you know, some of the things that you were saying about the people, they were hurt. They heard your song. They were hurt. Would you like to apologize to the people of Boston?
Nah, you guys do too much winning. I'm not going to apologize.
To the soup?
No, I mean, we were having fun. You guys have fun with us. And, you know, what's his name? Dan O'Shaughnessy?
Dan Shaughnessy.
Shaughnessy. So in advance of the Super Bowl, he said that there is zero enthusiasm for professional sports in the city of Atlanta. He could not be more incorrect with that. So, you know, and it's not just Boston. There are New Yorkers. I know Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, loves taking shots at Atlanta. Darren Rovell, in his snarky butt, is always taking shots. Why isn't Chick-fil-A open on Sunday? They're missing out on so much. Yo, idiot, they're not open on Sunday anywhere. It is a business policy of Chick-fil-A. Get over it. Move on to LeBron's contract. Move on to the contract Anthony Davis is going to sign. Leave us alone.
You know, so that's what Shaughnessy does. Like, that's what he waits for people to get suckered into getting mad.
Then guilty as charged. All
right. So what is the take on Chick-fil-A? Who was saying that?
Darren Rovell, and I guess he's formerly of ESPN, but he's always like, oh, they're missing out on so much money, and it's like this, ha, 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 these Southerners are so dumb, leaving all this money on the table. Homie, Chick-fil-A's never been open on Sunday. They never will be open
Sunday. Was there an
outcry? It's a non-story.
Was there an outcry about
that? There's just us bashing Darren Rovell about it.
Well, I think he's anti-Christian then. I believe that's what it is.
Yeah.
The people of Chick-fil-A, they want to keep the Lord's Day holy. Do not work on that day.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
It's damn good chicken. I only want Chick-fil-A on Sundays, too. That's like when I crave it.
Well, that's when you go to Chick-fil-A.
The devil inside.
Here's the math that I want him. Okay, smart guy. Here's the math I want him to run on this. Because when you try to go to a Chick-fil-A on a Friday or Saturday down here in Atlanta, or I presume anywhere, the line is around the block.
Sure.
Because everybody's like, yo, I can't get it on Sunday. I got to get my pre-hangover Chick-fil-A now. And so run the math on that, smart guy.
It's true. It's true. I don't think anyone's ever called Darren Rivel a smart guy, though.
Well, he thinks he is.
Oh, He
and I said that in air quotes, by the way.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, that is.
So you were very excited about the revolution, not the revolution. UFC
Atlanta
Unite.
Soccer
Atlanta
team,
Unite.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Right.
Was that euphoric?
Oh my God. It was cleansing. It was cathartic. I was in the house. And when the clock is winding down, it's in stoppage time, and like you know it's over, and the only thing left to do is taste the champagne and party your face off.
So it was
amazing.
Really...
So we got like a little slice of what you people get seemingly every year. And I know it's a soccer championship, but it's not football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I get it. But in Atlanta, I mean, they get either 40 grand when they open the whole thing at 70 grand. When they close a little bit, it's like 40 grand
yeah.
full every single
oh, it's
time.
Nuts. It's nuts.
So that's a big deal down here.
But
and
were
it's
people
kind of
really getting faced?
And,
were
here.
They like pouring champagne on each other and stuff?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, the whole thing. It was a rowdy party.
Really? For the soccer championship?
Yes. I'm telling you, people are that into it down here. One of the funnest tailgates in America is an Atlanta United tailgate. It's a joke. Tons of hot women coming down there just looking to have fun
I don't
and
doubt
drink.
That.
And
those Thrashers games were nuts.
Well, we always say on our show, like, I'm happily married, and my co-host, John Michaels, is happily married. So we're always saying, if you're a single dude and you're looking for a good time and the ability to maybe get a phone number, make something, go to an Atlanta United tailgate.
Chick. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, if you want to go out there and get
so it's a big deal down here.
Yeah, yeah.
Big
deal. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, he won't apologize for the cruel things he said about Boston.
It's a hug it out Monday.
Yeah, but nonetheless.
You guys have the last laugh, though, don't you?
Man.
I'm not on the team.
I'm not on the team, you know?
All right, Mr. Kamler, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys.
Where can people hear you?
92.9 The Game.
Excellent.
And I'm on NBA TV as well.
All right. Excellent. Cool. Excellent.
We will be right back.
What do you think? Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay. That ain't five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That is the most upset I've ever heard someone about reacting to someone being critical of Chick-fil-A. It's like, why would you positive? What do you care?
Well, listen, all I know is that I will never refer to him as Darren Ravel, just homie.
Homie, yeah, homie.
Just a little tongue.
Well, this has been a fun first morning. I know that we've got, like, I'm looking at around and like, maybe 1/20th
yeah.
of the tables
we
are
got
filled.
About 50 tables in there, three of which are filled.
I saw our buddy D.A., D.A.'s over there
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
Yep, D.A.'s doing the show.
I know. He's 9 to noon now.
Yep. Did you say Amy Lawrence is going to be there?
She will be here later, I am
she
told.
Walk recording Amy Lawrence,
No, she's not going to be here until tomorrow night, I'm told. I don't know why.
I'm told.
I'm
like,
told.
You've been texting back and forth?
I got people on the inside to tell me these things. Apparently she's not going to be here until tomorrow night. But then she'll be recording things right. during the morning like she had that very famous time in Houston where we all walked by her and the two of you exited stage right and kind of hung me right there. To drive,
but well, I don't know her. Yeah, you know her.
I don't.
You went to her wedding,
no,
or she went to
no.
your wedding.
Oh, she's not married.
That's right. She went to your wedding. That's right.
Yes,
the first one,
second one.
Okay,
so not the first one.
The one that stuck.
The one that stuck. That's right.
The one that stuck.
12 yes. glorious years. Yes. That's right. Thanks, Dan. Yeah, so yeah, far, right.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, today is going to be an interesting day because we're going to continue to find out more details about this Anthony Davis thing. If you didn't hear earlier this morning, he has demanded a trade before the trade deadline for him. And
by the way, just so we get this on the table, the reason why this was leaked now is to give the Lakers 2 weeks to get something done.
Oh, without a doubt.
To give the Lakers the lead and give them a chance to get them before the Celtics swoop in and completely blow the Pelicans away during the summer.
Well, he wants to go to the Lakers.
Yes.
And this gives
Magic Johnson 2 weeks to work something.
So what that does is it brings up the question, if I am the Pelicans, am I willing to sit there for 4 months or however many months
six.
Left in the regular season?
Six. Kyrie opts out in July, so
okay.
6 weeks.
Are you willing
months.
To sit there for six more months and with a guy who doesn't want to be there, bitching and moaning, in order to get the pile of gold that is the Boston Celtics trade package at the end of the rainbow? And to that I would say, yeah.
If you're any kind of businessman, if you really want to push the reset button, blow it up, and start over, if you know what's good for your team, you wait, because you're going to get an infinitely better offer from the Celtics than you could ever get from the Lakers.
And then we talked to Chris Forsberg this morning, and that raises a second question, and that is, let's say he does not want to go to the Celtics, but the best package, trade package is there. Does Danny Ainge still make that deal if Anthony Davis states, I'm not going to re-sign with you. And Chris Forsberg seems to believe that Danny is the type of person who would roll those dice and say, I'll risk getting him here for a year just to be able to prove to him how much he's going to love it being a Celtic.
Or regardless, you win a championship and it's all worth it.
Well, you have 1 year with a guy. But you're giving up a guy, Jason Tatum's gone.
You don't know what Golden State's going to be like next year. They may still be good, if not better, if Durant stays.
If you have a chance to win a championship, it doesn't matter what happens afterwards. It's all good.
See, I think it's worth it. It's worth giving up Jason Tatum. It's worth giving up.
Well, I'd give up Tatum.
The trade package isn't even. I'm just saying, if he's
going to want Tatum.
If he's swings and misses, and Davis decides not to come back, what's left on the backside is Kyrie Irving desperately trying to get out
of here. All I heard, and we even interviewed Danny, and we used no names and no specifics, but we said if there was a player that you wanted who said he would not re-sign with you, and you could get him for a year that you thought could help you win a championship, would you make that trade? Danny said he would, and I believe him.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Right now, all depends on
what you have to give up. But boy,
no, it depends on what whether or not the Pelicans will sit there and wait. But this will be a fun day, kind of figuring out, you know, hearing more stuff leak out. This should be interesting. And then we got media day tonight or opening
night. And it's probably going to be a little tomfoolery as well.
I would imagine. Aqib Talib goes first, my friends. Aqib Talib is first on the podium.
It's funny,
7 o'clock.
I keep saying I want to stand in front of Aqib Talib, but I've only thought of like one question I want to ask him, so I have to think of more.
What's your mindset, Aqib? You know, just start with that, and then you go from there.
Is your mindset? I mean, listen, I have a feeling if I just stand in front of Aqib Talib, I'm going to end up thinking of like 15 things I want to ask him. But if anybody has any suggestions, but by all means, feel free to send them my way.
Yeah, that is a rich production.
I love opening night. I love it.
I can't say that.
What other place can you have like 60 minutes to stand in front of Bill Belichick and just fire questions away? Like, usually, like, the most enclosed organization.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, how amazing is that? So, all the questions you ever wanted asked, tweet me, at Toucher and Rich. I'll see what I can do.
How amazing is that, Fred?
Dude, it's great.
How amazing.
It's the best. I love standing there and
accomplishing nothing.
I love standing there and accomplishing. Rich is great at that stuff. I never have been.
I love uncomfortable moments.
I'm not good. I'm not good at
I gotta live for that stuff.
I'm not good at getting in front of the line. I'm not good at any of it. Last year, Walk and I sat there.
We were there for one session, and then we left and had drinks.
We went
across the street
and got drinks. Because there was nothing for us to do. There.
You'll see my big stupid head on TV, I'm sure, all over the place.
Yeah, you know who said you didn't see? John's and I.
We were enjoying ourselves.
I'm meeting a guy for dinner if you want to come. I'm dead serious. If you want to come.
All right.
To Zolak or Bertrand or Hardy, anyone want to sit down with the gang? Do a little crossover?
Hi.
Let's not do it then.
Hi.
Zoe?
Hi.
You're literally 2 feet away.
We got Scotty Deals over here. His phone keeps ringing off the hook.
How much cash this morning so far?
Are you plugging a product or what?
No product plugging. I will plug any products if anybody's interested in me to plug.
How many sit downs so far this morning?
What I do? Nothing yet.
Ooh,
I got rich eyes in it too.
Paid you, would you plug the product of my choice?
Your breath is so bad right now. Why don't you get some scope?
Is it bad?
Oh my God. Well, what time did you get up today? 4?
No, 3.
How much coffee you suck down?
A buttload.
Rich went to bed at 11. Your breath smells exactly the way I think it would smell.
Yeah, it's coffee breath. It's
Rich went to bed at 11 and got up at 3. I went to bed at 9 and got up at 4:45.
No, I'm serious.
Which is not happening again.
If I paid you, would you plug a product, any product that we tell you to out of the radio show?
It could be any product. Could be like a Gumby 2.0 or something.
What like Summer's Eve?
Yeah, that's right.
Let's do that.
Am I doing the Mel testosterone thing?
No, if we gave you like 50 bucks, would you go on another radio station and plug Summer's Eve douche?
No, I would not. We don't do that. The other station does that stuff. So, or crank calls. One product I did plug about a year ago, I did a commercial for this testosterone pill that enhances not only
your
muscles and everything.
Sure.
Somebody ended up having some issues with it. They pulled it, but I ended up getting a fee for shooting a commercial, so I'm excited.
What if we make up a fake product? If we made up a fake product.
Why don't you make up a placebo and get it out there?
Okay. Yeah. No, what if we make up a fake product that at the end
I'm
you have
so
to.
I'm so tired. I don't want, I'm not going to do anything.
The Fart Loader 3000.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Right, right. Or Shazowie's Mystical Wonderland.
Perfect.
We do Shazowie's. The,
there it is.
The Magic Store owned by John
that's
Wall.
That's the guy you got to do. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So all right. What do you guys got going today?
We're coming right out of the gate. Evan Washburn, he does sidelines for CBS. He's going to come be on with us. He's covered the Patriots for a while now with Nance Romo and, of course, Tracy Wilson, but what do you got here? Talib, he's got a podium tonight.
He doesn't like birds. Stinks. He's terrified of water creatures and birds. I'm just now learning.
Oh, here we go.
All I'm going to do is talk
dress
about
up like a bird.
How can you be terrified?
Of...
I should walk up with John Wall and see if he freaks out.
Go get a big bird costume and just go check him out. So
I'm in a bird puppet.
Yeah, but we're ready to go. Ready to go. Straight coverage. Talk about the rally. The rally was unreal.
Yeah,
it was great.
It must have been cool to stand in front of that many people.
Have Zoe endorsed Mark Jamilli's meatballs?
Ah, Mark Jamilli! Ah, thank you, Scott. I'm going to sell so many meatballs.
All right, we will be back here on Radio Row tomorrow. And we look forward to that opportunity. And until then, we bid you adieu. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.